I want to talk about prosperity in poverty. This is not a prosperity gospel. I want to talk about prosperity as how the Lord prospers us in our spiritual life, in our physical life, in our walk with Him. Not money, money, money. Okay? Not zingle, zingle, ka-ching, but prosperity. Okay? So I want to talk about that today. How many of you are surviving the storm, by the way? Yeah? Oh, such a storm, right? Here in California. Oh, in Midwest, this would be like a breeze, I guess. You know, when you grow up in a tornado and hurricane, all those kind of things. Are you okay driving in the rain? Yeah, it must be difficult for you guys. Yes. You know, but we grow up driving in 3 feet of snow or 4 or 5 inches of snow and slick road and black ice, and it gets very cold. One time I remember when we were in Midwest, it was colder than Alaska one year. It was minus 30 or something. And in the winter, it gets really cold. So my wife and I, we have many ways of dealing with things of cold and heat and... So what happens when the world of saving and spending collides? Do you know what happens? Like when savers and spender collides? I want to tell you something. My wife saves. She likes saving. And so when we found out through reading that if you keep the thermostat 2 or 3 numbers lower, so instead of keeping it 75, which is comfortable, you keep like at 72, right? Then you can save like $10 a year, right? $10 a year. So my wife put it at like 72, 73. It's like, we can save $10. And it's like, honey, so if I got to live for 100 years, we would save like 1,200, you know? Why don't I just give it to you? I want to be comfortable. I mean, we're talking about value here, right? My value for 100 years, what? 1,200. That's what I'm worth. Before we got married, she used to tell me, you're my everything, right? That everything's like 1,200. Time out, right? Prosperity in poverty. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So this is the story from the widow and two mites, and the rich man is there, and also the rulers, the teachers of the law, and I want to talk about them today. So three things about Jesus from this story. Three things from the story of widow and the mite. Descension to poverty and ascension to prosperity. The thing is, the descension of Christ into poverty is for our ascension to prosperity. When Jesus descended to poverty and came to live a life of poverty, what is the implication for us? It means that we will live with Him in heaven. That's His poverty is our riches. That is what we learn from this story, the first one. The second one is that temporal inhabitation and then eternal inheritance. See, the temporal inhabitation of Christ coming to live temporarily here on earth is for our eternal inheritance, that we will live eternally with Him. And you can see this in the way the widow gave. He talks about the eternal investment. Right? This is one. Now, the third thing that we learn from the story is self-serving generosity and sacrificial giving. Okay? So, the self-serving generosity is conditional. The sacrificial giving is unconditional. Unconditional love, conditional love. These are the three things that I want us to think about today from this story. Do we have unconditional love for God? Are we working towards our eternal inheritance? And Are we looking at our spiritual prosperity rather than our physical prosperity? Okay? So it's also interesting that from this story, when we observe that, there are three things that Jesus did. Okay, you can see in the picture, Mark painted an immortal picture of Jesus on this day, that Jesus is coming into the temple. And he is in the court of the women, right? The temple have different courts. So he is at the court of the women there. And he's probably kind of weary and tired. We don't know. But he was sitting there. He was sitting there with his disciples at the court. And he said some things that are very important as he was observing how people were giving to the temple. The first thing that he did was that Jesus shifted the perception on poverty and prosperity. That's what Jesus did. How did he do that? Because the rich man came and gave a lot of money, a large sum of money. And the eyes of the disciples, where is it on? It's on the rich that's giving a lot of money. They're seeing the, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You know? It's like, wow. Where did... And nobody noticed this widow. Their eyes are not on her. It's on the large sum. It's on the big jingles. Right? The lousy, loud jingles. And the disciples are looking at them. And Jesus, like, maybe tap on the shoulder. It's not in the Bible, so don't. It's like, hey, hey, hey. I want you to take a look at the widow. See? Changing the perspective, perceptions, and looking at the widow. And he is telling the disciples, turn your eyes and look and see what God sees. So, then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. This poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. That is a lot of money, right? It says it has put more than all those who have given to the treasury. The two mites was more than all that has been given to the treasury. That is a huge, huge statement there. And the disciples must be thinking, what's going on here? What's going on here? See, the eye of the world is on the high and mighty, but God's eye is on the humble and lowly in heart. We see the high and mighty. We see them. We see them on the road, we see them on the street, neighbors, at work, we see them, our eyes are on them. But God's eye is on the lowly in the heart. He sees the humble. And that's what Christ is teaching them. See, there's a two mites, two perspectives here. So, let me show you the picture here. In the women's court, there are 13 receptacles, 13 chests that are shaped in trumpet. Okay? So it has the narrow mouth, and then it widens at the bottom. And they are kept on the walls of the women's court. There are 13 of them. So he's watching them. So when people come in, actually, 11 of them are for offerings. The two of them are for the half shekels. That is the tax that you owe to the temple. So two of the receptacles are to come and pay your taxes that is due in the past or for the current year. So for every Jew that has turned to 20, if you're 20 years old, you pay the half shekel tax in the temple. So out of the 13, two are for the half shekels, right? Now, the first trumpet, is for, you remember the turtle doves? Those who are poor, that's where they pay their offering. So when Mary and Joseph came to the temple, that's the offering they give in that trumpet. So what they do is the priest will take the money and go and sacrifice it for them. That eliminates embarrassment sometimes because they are poor. And they will go and offer and sacrifice for them quietly and secretly, and nobody will know that they were poor and they had little to give. That trumpet there, see? First trumpet. You know, they give to the poor there. No, first and second for half shekel. The third one is for that. And then the fourth one, and the fifth one, like for incense, for the wood. And the seventh one is for the ministry. The eighth trumpet is that you have saved to give a sin offering. And if there is a leftover, you give in that eighth trumpet. There's a and the ninth, tenth, and eleventh are for the offering for transgression, sin offering, the turtle doves, the pigeon, people, lepers that were cleansed. Those you keep in the 9, 10, 11, you put in the offering on all the walls. So Jesus is sitting there and he can see, okay, oh, who is putting in the trumpet number one? Number two, oh, those are taxes, right? Number three, oh, that's a sin offering. Okay, that's for the turtle dove sacrifice. Oh, the fourth, you know, the fifth, oh, that's for the wood for the temple. Oh, that's for the ministry. Number seven, oh, that's the number eight, that's a leftover. Oh, number nine, that lepers must be cleansed. He must be bringing something. Oh, that must be. So Jesus knew what was happening there in the temple. The rich man gave and put in all those receptacles in the trumpet, different offerings. The widow is also coming. By the way, this is not a tithe. Right? There is a difference between tithe and offering. We know that, right? Because I don't want to be accused of pastor asking for money. Yeah, but I got to say this, that tithing and offerings are different. Offerings are over and above tithing. Tithing is the one-tenth that you owe it to the Lord, that you give to the Lord. And in our church, what we do is you give to the church and let the leaders, or let the church decide how to use your tithes. You're not the one that decides how you will use your tithes. It is God who used the tithe. The offering is above that. We're good in that? Yes, right? Okay. Or should I just do on tithing and offering this morning? So Jesus opened the eyes of his disciples that the rich were posing as giving widows' mites when they were giving from their excess. See, out of their abundance. What is abundance? The excess that you have from what you need. See, the rich people were giving from their excess, from their increase, over and above. And when they have earned, they were not. They don't feel the pinch of giving it. This is, oh, I don't know what to do with this extra. I'll give it to the temple. Out of their abundance. And Jesus pointed, no, the rich people, by the way, not all rich people are sinners and bad, okay? There are good rich people and there are bad poor people. We have to make that clear, all right? Some poor people are bad. Some rich people are very good. There is nothing wrong with being rich. Let's be clear on that. This is not a talk down on rich people. Praise the Lord. God has blessed you. Let there be more rich people in this church, by the way. Oh, Lord God Almighty. Yes. Because God blesses you. So this is not about rich and poor. It's about the heart. The people that were giving a lot were posing. They were posers. They were posing as the widow. And God did not like that. Christ did not like that. You can't pose like the widow when in your heart you're not like the widow who gave everything out of her poverty. She gave her livelihood. It was her lifestyle to give to the Lord. It was the principle of her life to give nothing less to God. That's the difference there. She was giving nothing less to God when this rich guy was giving out of the abundance and posing as the widow, asking for glory from people. Look what I did. Look what I did. So Jesus opened the eyes of the disciple to see that the widow gave nothing less to God. But the disciples and the people, they didn't hear that. You know, in that 13 receptacles that are there when the coin comes, if they bring a lot, large sum and put it through the hole, what would it sound like at the bottom? A lot of noise, a lot of jingle, loud jingle, right? Jingles. It's the ka-ching. The loud self-serving jingles are heard on earth, but the low sacrificial jingles are heard in heaven. That's why we say, treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. Do not let your left hand know what you are doing. When the money is collected, there are some people that takes all the money and take it and put it in the chest. Okay? So, it was even said that when they put a lot of money, there was the trumpet will blow. See? The trumpet will blow when there was... Remember in Matthew 6, 2? Jesus was teaching and he said, when you do a charitable act, don't blow your own trumpet. See, there is a background to all this teaching. He wasn't just saying out of nothing and nowhere. He knows what was happening there because of the trumpet, blowing the trumpet. Oh, loud noise, blowing trumpet. Who is it? Oh, it's that man from the north guy who drives the thing, you know, who rides on a nice horse and comes in a carriage. But when the people collect and put in a chest, and when they put the whole money, you know what they did? These people used to educate the poor children of the pious givers. And this was done in secret, and nobody knew. And who knew? Christ knew. So when he said, do not let your right hand or left hand, which one is it? Do not let other people know what you're doing. Give it secretly. And they were secretly educating the poor kids. And Jesus knew. That's what he's teaching. He's talking about the heart of this widow. So God sees what we overlook. God sees what we overlook. Are we overlooking others because they do not make big splash and have no flash? Are we overlooking them? So let's not overlook the widow amongst us. Let's not overlook the widow with the two mites amongst us. Let us see each other as Christ sees the widow. She was worthy of his comment. She was worthy of his comment. She was worthy of God's comment. So that's what the first thing that Jesus did. The second thing that Jesus did was Jesus called out self-serving generosity and self-sufficiency. Many who were rich put in much, for they all had put it out of their abundance. We know that material riches and material poverty is not an indicator of spiritual riches. Just because you're poor doesn't mean you are spiritually rich. And just because you're rich does not mean you're spiritually poor. No, it's not an indicator of that. There's more to it. Okay? It's a motive. Two minds, two motives. Jesus taught his disciples, it is the proportion of giving, not the amount. The proportion of giving, not the amount. Not the large sum. It's the amount. It's the level of the sacrifice. It's not the level of our giving. How much that we can give. This widow is worthy to receive the charity. Okay? According to the law, she is worthy to receive charity. We are supposed to take care of the temple is supposed to take care of her. We are supposed to take care of her. So she's the one supposed to receive all the charity. She's not the one to give away. So she gets a paycheck. And what did she do with her paycheck? She gave her paycheck away. We were supposed to give it to her. The church is supposed to give it to her. She is worthy to receive the charity. She is a perfect candidate. The Lord wants us to give it to her. But she gave everything away to the Lord. That's a paradigm shift, isn't it? And the Lord noticed these things. It's not the way how the world is dealing here. Okay? And God is pleased with this. I want to demonstrate. I'm going to call Nicole and my wife. Is Nicole and my wife here? Are they in the church? Yes, please come up and help me with. Come up. Please come up to the stage. And I learned one thing. When I was growing up working with my mom, because I didn't have a father. My father died early. So working with my mother in the farm, in the rice farm, potato, cabbage, vegetable farm, and putting things in the bag to sell in the market, okay? Can you please bring the rice bag over there? So one each at the both corners. You can lift up in both corners. I'm making them work. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Yeah, this is not a slave laborer, okay? And then we can bring the other one too. All right. I needed their help. So all right, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So this rice bag is full, right? Okay, it's heavy. Now, Nicole and my wife, if I am to say to you, okay, this is the only rice in the world, and this is going to save your family, and say, oh, you can take both of them, but you have to put this in here, what are you going to do? I mean, you can take this bag and this one too, but you got to put this rice in this bag. What will you do? I mean, this is full already.
Kind of like this?
No, you got to put the rice inside the bag. You'll have to put the rice inside the bag. What will you do?
So we'll have to open it up.
Okay, they will open it up and then?
And open this up and put it in the
bag. But this is full.
It's not.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. See? Right?
That's mom talking.
Right? So what she did was she shook it, right? She shook it. And even though it fall, when it shake, it came down here. So can you help? Let's open and put it in. Let's open both. There's a thing, yeah. And see whether it can go in there or not. It's all... And when I was growing up, we have this burlap sack. And when the harvest is done, we store all the grain in the burlap sack and then carry it in a jeep or in a car or in a truck and take it home or take it to the market, whether it's potato, cabbage, hot pepper, whatever it is, right? Okay, and then the other one. All right. So they found a way to take the blessing here, right? Oh, smart Asian women. Oh, let's give them a hand. Yes. I love it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Nicole's.
Let's scan it here.
Yeah. So.
This is going to spill. Let's
okay,
take
I'll
it
take.
Back.
I'll take. No, no, I need it. I'll take care of that. All right. Okay. So what happens is, thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Margaret. Yes. Let's give them a big hand. Yeah. So, but what happens is when the contractor or people that buy, when they come to buy from us, what they do is they will shake it and then try to put more and shake it, right? And then so there's more extra we can put it. If we shake it, if we press it down, you know, there's a runover, right? And they will take it to the store, in the market, in the city. So when we go to buy, then what do? They put it there, and they don't shake it. Right? It's full. That's it. That's how you sell. They don't know. They don't shake it. Just put it there. Because if you put the potato here in the bag, it seems to be full. But if you shake it, there will be more space, and we fill it. But if you just put it, and you don't shake it, it's full. That's how they sell. When they buy from us, they want to shake, shake, shake. Got to shake, 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 shake. But when they sell, they don't shake. Right? They don't have the widow's heart. But the Bible says, the same measure that you give will be the measure that you get, you receive. Luke. So, it says, shake it. Press it down. Run over. Give to others. Do we shake it when we give? Do we press it when we give? Is it running over when we give? You know, God does not miss what we dismiss. We dismiss the widow. But God does not miss the widow. God did not miss that she had shaken it. She had pressed it down. It was running over. She gave everything out of her poverty. There was nothing that she was holding back. She was giving it all. She was giving it all. So, if you feel like your life is like a leftover, maybe you're serving a leftover God. If God is a leftover, and you're asking, why is my life like a leftover? Not full, I'm not complete. Maybe you've been serving God your leftover. How many of you like leftover? Maybe for a day, right? Leftovers are good for a day. You put everything together, mix everything, you're hungry, and oh, it's so good. Right? You eat that for a week, then you wouldn't like it. You don't like leftover after you eat it for a week. It's like, I want new, fresh food. We're eating leftover for a long time. We got to clean out a refrigerator. There's so much leftover. Leftover may be good for a day. You know, cutting short. Making a shortcut, shortcutting the Lord in terms of giving our time, talent, and treasure in our life, maybe like a very innovative, genius idea. Oh, I could save this money if I do this for a week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks. You keep that doing that, and suddenly the leftover life comes, and you feel like, my life's like a leftover. I'm so tired of my life. Maybe you've been serving a leftover God. Are you serving God your leftovers? The other thing that Jesus did is Jesus commanded the widow's sacrificial giving and livelihood. She, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. See, the intent of our sacrifice is the extent of our faith in God. How far you can go how deep you can go. The intent that you have in your heart, that displays the extent of your faith in God. We don't know what happened to this widow anymore, but the Bible didn't say she went back home and she died hungry the next day, because she gave everything. But we know that God provides. We can go back to Old Testament, the widow in Zarephath, the widow that served the last meal to Elijah. What happened to her? The flour never ran out. The oil never ran out, not just for her, but for her whole family household, for her relatives too, because she was willing to sacrifice everything for this man of God. You appeared to be a man of God, and I'm going to give you my last meal, my son, and we were going to eat this and die. They did not die. They did not die, because the intent of her sacrifice to this man of God, what's the extent of her faith? That she believed maybe God will take care of her. This man of God is the solution to her life. Indeed, it was. Indeed, it was. So two mites, two messages. Jesus gave his disciples a lesson on faith. You know, Jesus taught his disciples not to focus on how much people give, rather on how they give. God does not neglect the negligible. God does not neglect the negligible. We may dismiss people. We may miss seeing people. We may neglect the poor, those who are in the margin, but God will not. God does not neglect. God does not miss. God does not overlook. The large amount draws the attention of the world, but negligible amount caught the eyes of God. Are you offering your gifts to God in faith, in total faith, total surrender? Where are we today with the Lord? Are we like the widow? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're talking about paycheck. We continue to talk about paycheck. I am blessed to be in this church. As the worship team gets ready, I want to share with you, church, and I want to commend you this morning for your faithfulness. When I went to clusters meeting, pastors meeting, you know what their praises are? Oh, we met 90% of our budget. We praise God. We didn't even think that we would meet the 90%. You know, we thank God. And I'm thinking, I sat there quietly. I didn't say, you know, that this church has been having like a 7% increase for a couple of years. Or maybe this year about 4% increase. And yeah, I just kept quiet. And then I think about you guys and say, the Lord has blessed this church. I am thankful that I serve you guys. I serve in this church. That we thank God for the increase that God gives to us. It speaks about your heart. That if your heart is with God, if your heart is for the gospel, that's where you will invest your treasure. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right. This is not a emotional manipulation asking for money. I want you to know the kingdom of God and its power. I want you to know the kingdom of God and its power, and what it means to live in the power of the kingdom of God daily. What can happen to you when you live in the power of the kingdom of God? What release you can have, what blessings you can have, what wholeness you can have. That is not the amount, is not the large sum, but it's your sacrificial life that you live for the Lord that is pleasing to Him. that you can experience victory day to day in basic, regular, ordinary, daily life. That's what I'm talking about. This is the truth that the kingdom of God is here. This is the truth that the kingdom of God will be here in fullness when Christ comes. This is about the kingdom of God. This is about the kingdom of God and your future, your inheritance. This is not about us. It's about what Christ has done for us. Everything about Christ. Can we stand on our feet and know what the Lord has done for us? You know, in His strength alone we stand here today. You know, if we are dead and gone tomorrow because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be with Him eternally. Right? We will be with Him eternally. He raised me up. He raised you up to live with Him in heavenly places. Your place is secure in the kingdom of God because you believe in Jesus' name. If you believe, you are blessed. You have the right to become the child of God. Can you believe that? Do you feel that this morning? Oh, I wish I can fly, but you guys said, oh, walk, you know? So I'm just going to walk with the Lord daily, faithfully. Right? So let's give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ.